tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'm hoping we will have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson back with us tomorrow for an episode of the Daily Nationalist in a couple of weeks' time. I am hoping that we will also have Peter Rushton coming back from Heritage and Destiny for an episode so that he can tell us what he's been researching, and I'm also trying to bring back the Patriotic History series. Now, both Truthvids and Patriot are both unavailable. They're not able to continue making the series with me, so I've been trying to find someone else. I think I have found somebody else that I can make the series with, and if I'm able to bring it back, I'll just do it once every 2 weeks. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to finish off doing William the Conqueror, have a look at King Edward Longshanks, have a look at Oliver Cromwell, and then perhaps take a look at some world history as well. I mean, when the series started off, we did look at all sorts of aspects of history in a patriotic way, not just British history. So perhaps we could take a look at some other things that went on, perhaps maybe even take a look at the war. Or both wars, even though we did do a lot of that with Truth Will Out Radio. And don't forget, of course, later on today, we also have Sam Melia on Patriotic Weekly Review with his first interview after being released. I'm particularly looking forward to hearing that myself. But today, I thought we could get into some more of what's actually going on with America's attack on Iran. And this is particularly interesting. I mean, it seems to me as if these things are happening because it's necessary that they do actually happen. And one of the side effects of them happening is that it makes Jewish power and influence absolutely obvious to the rest of the world. I mean, what other way could you make Jewish influence visible to the rest of the world? Surely the best way to do that is by demonstration. By demonstrating that Donald Trump, who campaigned on a message of stopping all wars and making America great again, is now going to war for the benefit of Israel. Not even his troops support this. They tried to scupper the battleship. They were putting socks down the toilet because they didn't want to go and die for Israel, effectively. And I think the whole world can see this. And it's even being admitted that this is down to Israel. I have a particularly interesting article on this about Marco Rubio, who basically admitted that it was Israel that pushed America into war. I'm taking this article from the Daily Mail. The US launched preemptive strikes against Iran after learning Israel was about to attack and American troops in the region faced an imminent threat of retaliation, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said on Monday. And you can understand Trump looking at that and saying, well, we're not able to stop Israel from doing this. And if they do this, the first thing Iran is going to do is it's going to retaliate by firing on American bases, which is going to put Americans at risk. Therefore, we need to go in with a preemptive strike and attack them first. And that's obviously the way that Donald Trump has looked at this. But the general population, I think, will look at that and say, well, surely you should have said, well, Israel, you can't do that because you're putting us in the way of danger by doing that. America could have denounced Israel for doing that. They could have warned Iran and said, look, Israel is about to attack you. We're warning you because we don't want you to attack our bases. Because if Israel is going to go around doing things like that, it's putting Americans at risk, isn't it? And it's making America look terrible to the rest of the world. But at least this information is now coming out. And it was Marco Rubio that actually said this, the Secretary of State for America. Rubio made the revelation on Capitol Hill, where he briefed a small group of congressional leaders on the joint US-Israel offensive. There absolutely was an imminent threat, Rubio stated, yes, but the imminent threat was caused by Israel, not by Iran. There absolutely was an imminent threat, and the imminent threat was that we knew that if Iran was attacked, and we believed they would be attacked, that they would immediately come after us, and we were not going to sit there and absorb a blow before we responded. And of course, people were saying, well, just before this, Bibi Netanyahu went to visit Donald Trump in Florida, and it looked like Bibi Netanyahu gave Trump his orders, basically, telling Trump that Israel was going to attack Iran and America had better back Israel up, because if they don't, then Iran is just going to destroy these American bases if Americans aren't prepared to defend them. And it really shows you who is a puppet of Israel, effectively. It shows that Donald Trump is a puppet of Israel, and it shows for everybody just this immense amount of power and influence that Jews have around the world, and not just with parties that are actually in government, not just with the Republicans, also with the Democrats. The Democrats have come out saying that they're against this attack on Iran. But there will be Jews that are against this attack on Iran, the same as there are Jews that support Palestine and that don't support Israel. Not all Jews are Zionist Jews. Originally, it was really split. It was Bolshevik Jews and Zionist Jews. You had Jews on the left and you had Jews on the right. But things now seem to have become blended somewhat. And you have people that are on the left that are also Zionist, and you have people on the right that are not necessarily Zionist and support the Palestinians. If you look at the Reform Party, supposedly the alternative in Britain, two of them were married to Jews, Suella Braverman, Robert Jenrick, and the rest of them are sympathetic to Jews. They have a Jewish Reform Friends of Israel, for instance. There is a Conservative Party Friends of Israel. There is a Labour Party Friends of Israel. There is a massive Jewish influence on all the Western governments, effectively. And that's why they go along with these things. That's why they go along with attacking Iran when Iran has not attacked anybody else. I don't think Iran has attacked anybody in its history. It's never deliberately gone to war against someone, has defended itself, but it's never initiated an attack against anyone. Rubio said the Department of War determined that a defensive posture following an Israeli attack would only open the US to more casualties. 5 American soldiers have died so far in combat. And really, if Donald Trump was aiming to stop all these pointless wars, why did he set up a Department of War? Why have they got a Department of War if Donald Trump was planning on stopping all of these wars? I mean, there is an argument that in order to stop all these wars, you have to take out the people that are likely to start a war, and according to America, they would say Iran is likely to start a war because of its rhetoric against Israel. So that's why they would go after them. There's another way of looking at this, which says that there are now going to be problems with getting the oil and the gas, especially through the Strait of Hormuz, and that's why the Americans secured Venezuela, because of the oil supplies that they could get from Venezuela. That's the reason why they went after Maduro. Trump has always been concerned about Iran, and I believe he said that because his son-in-law is Jewish. So obviously, when the family talked together, and Israel is very close to the heart of Jared Kushner, then they would be telling Donald all about what a threat Iran is. And then, of course, as well as his family doing it, he's also got Bibi Netanyahu doing it, who gets a standing ovation from both sides of the House in America, full bipartisan support. So if he's being told that the Iranians are a threat by Bibi Netanyahu as well, then he's going to believe that they are a threat. But I don't think he would have gone to war if it wasn't for the fact that Israel said that they were literally going to go in there and attack them, because Donald Trump said he'd already taken out their nuclear facilities. And now they're saying, well, we need to take out their rocket making facilities as well, because they could put the nukes on the rockets. So we need to stop all their rockets. That's effectively saying that they need to prevent Iran from having any defensive military whatsoever. We went proactively in a defensive way to prevent them from inflicting higher damage, Rubio said. Had we not done so, there would have been hearings on Capitol Hill about how we knew that this was going to happen, and we didn't act preemptively to prevent more casualties and more loss of life, he explained. And I guess that is true. If they hadn't gone in there, and Israel had gone in there and then retaliated by firing on American bases and killing American soldiers, that's exactly what they would have said is, well, you must have known that Israel were going to go in there. Why didn't you defend your bases? Why didn't you preemptively prevent the Iranians from attacking our bases, essentially? But what people should be saying is, well, why didn't they expose what Israel was doing? Say, look, we're not having this. If you're going to go and attack them, we will warn Iran that you are going to attack them, and we will say we are doing this because we do not want you to retaliate by attacking our bases. And that would have prevented Israel from doing this. But of course, they seem to think that Israel is their greatest ally in the Middle East. We keep hearing about how Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, but the Islamic Republic of Iran is a democracy. They vote for their president. The president has a certain amount of power. The person at the top, the figurehead, is the Ayatollah, is rather like a sovereign, rather like the sovereign in Britain, which is the constitutional head of the government. And then the government itself is elected, and it's run by a prime minister. And it's the same in Iran. The government is elected and it's run by a president. And every few years they have a vote, and you can vote for whoever it is that you want. That is supposedly democracy. This is why I say that it seems that democracy no longer seems to be about people voting for the most popular idea or voting for the most popular party. It has to mean something different. And of course, what it seems to mean is subservient to Jewish interests or subservient to Jewish ideals, because they will say groups like Reform or Viktor Orban are a threat to democracy, and both Reform and Viktor Orban are extremely friendly towards Israel. So it's not necessarily against Jewish interests. It means don't promote left-wing Jewish ideals, I guess. A democracy is only a democracy if it's going to promote LGBTQ and endless immigration, as well as support for Zionism, I guess. I mean, that's the only answer that's available to us, really. If we're told that these countries are a threat to democracy, or they're not democratic, even though they allow people to vote. The revelation outraged both Democrats and Republicans. Secretary Rubio's remarks indicate that Israel put US forces in harm's way by insisting on attacking Iran. Congressman Joaquin Castro reacted on X, and the administration was complicit, joining their war instead of taking them down. And it's not the first time that Israel put US forces in harm's way, is it? I mean, the Israeli Air Force bombed the Liberty, the USS Liberty. And there have been other instances where Americans have been harmed because of actions by Israel. I mean, what about the way that Israel has nuclear weapons and how they got them in the first place? They got them by spying on America. And the spy that actually gave the nuclear weapons secrets away, he was jailed for a long time in America, Victor Vanunu or something like that his name was. And then he was released and he went to Israel, where he got a hero's welcome. And Israel is the only nuclear power in the Middle East. And what they say about Iran, oh, Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. Well, you look at that and you say, well, why is it that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon? And clearly the answer is because if they had a nuclear weapon, if they had nuclear defences, America and Israel would not be able to just go in there doing what they're doing now. And don't forget, Israel has continually bombed parts of Iran and just sees that it's perfectly fine for them to assassinate Iranian leaders. Just the same as America seems to think that it's absolutely fine to assassinate Iranian leaders. We're thinking of General Soleimani, and it was requested that he went on a peace mission to talk about ending hostilities. And the peace mission was supposed to be, I think it was in Saudi Arabia or Jordan. And when he got there and his limousine was driving along to the destination for the peace meeting, they bombed him. America bombed him and just assassinated him. Now, all of these are acts of war. And if Iran had nuclear weapons, these sorts of things wouldn't happen. I mean, you never hear of Kim Jong-un's leaders being assassinated, do you? Because Kim Jong-un has nuclear weapons. And all credit to the Iranians. They know this, that if they did have nuclear weapons, that Israel and America wouldn't be able to attack them. But they haven't done so. For the last 30 years, Bibi Netanyahu's been going on about how Iran is just about to create a nuclear weapon, just on the verge of doing it. And they never have. And they've said all along, look, having nuclear weapons is our religious leaders have determined that having a nuclear weapon goes against the Quran. So we will not go against the Quran and we will not have a nuclear weapon. Of course, other people might say, well, Pakistan has a nuclear weapon. Pakistan is a Muslim country. Pakistan is a different type of Muslim to Iran. Iran is Shiite Muslim. And there is a big split between Shiite Muslims and Sunni Muslims. And part of it is about the interpretation of the Quran. Part of it is about the line of succession after Muhammad. So just because Pakistan thinks that it's okay to have nuclear weapons doesn't necessarily follow through that Iran is also going to think that it's okay, especially when they've spoken up and said, well, our religious leaders have determined that the Quran forbids nuclear weapons. I think they said it's something because it forbids them to poison the wells of their enemies. And they said, and that's exactly what the nuclear weapons would do. It would poison everything. So it's against the Quran. So no, we will not have one. And you have to give them credit that they haven't created one. And all this time, Israel keeps saying that they are creating one, keeps attacking them, keeps bombing their facilities. And yet they haven't created one. Clearly they haven't created one. And the only nuclear armed country in the Middle East is Israel, and the only country in the world that has nuclear weapons that are not inspected by the IAEA and are not required to actually say how many weapons they have is Israel. Nobody even knows how many weapons that they have. Nobody's ever their weapons have never even been inspected. And we're also told that each one of their nuclear warheads is aimed at every one of the other capitals in the world, so that if anything like the alleged Holocaust ever happens again, they will do the Samson option and just blow up every capital, and just blow the world up, basically. So it's Israel that's actually holding the world to ransom by having nuclear weapons. It's certainly not Iran. And I think more and more people are learning this. As I say, it's almost like these things have to happen in order to wake people up to the reality of the situation. I mean, you can talk about Jewish power all you like, but until people actually see evidence of it, they're not really going to believe it. And I think that everybody is seeing the evidence of this now. And you, as I say, you've even got Marco Rubio admitting this, that it was because of Israel that America went in there, that it wasn't America's plan to go in there and invade Iran. It was Israel's plan. Conservative pundit Matt Walsh wrote, "So he is flat out telling us that we are in a war with Iran because Israel forced our hand. This is basically the worst possible thing he could have said." Well, it's the worst possible thing for the people trying to hide this, trying to hide the Israeli power. It's the worst possible thing for them to say. And Matt Walsh works for an arch Zionist, as far as I'm aware. He works on the Daily Wire, which is a full-on Zionist publication run by a Zionist Jew. So if you even you've got people that are Zionists that are saying this, they're basically admitting that it's making this apparent for the whole world to see that America dances to Israel's tune. Iran had already pre-positioned its missiles and had them on ready alert, the Secretary of State claimed. He did not specify where the missiles were aiming or which US targets would have been within range. And just something about these targets and these firing these weapons, I mean, people might be saying, well, surely Iran have these intercontinental ballistic missiles. They have missiles that will travel at the speed of sound that they've got from Russia. Where are these? Why aren't they being used? And apparently, I've had a look at some of the Middle Eastern news sites, and they're saying that at the moment, all Iran is doing is wearing down all the defences of its opponents. So that eventually, they will run out of defensive rockets. They will run out, or they'll run down low on the means of how to defend themselves, and then they'll start attacking with the other rockets. And of course, this is the same tactic that Russia uses. When you hear about, say, 120 drones were fired at Ukraine and 8 of these drones got through, but 112, whatever, were knocked out of the way, that's because Russia knows that their air defences in Ukraine only have enough to fire out 112 defensive rockets, so they'll send over 120, so they know that 8 will get through. And I think it's the same tactic that's being followed here, and the Iranians are trying to grind down the air defences of the surrounding countries. And we've already heard that America is having to rush over new munitions, new support, basically, for the surrounding countries. I mean, Israel is really, I think it's really making itself known that it is the enemy of all the countries around it, really. It's Israel that started this by invading another sovereign nation. And America joined them, and America's bases are all around these surrounding countries. This is why America will say, well, it's harmful to our interests for Iran to be making these threats towards America. Even though America is hundreds of thousands of miles away from Iran, all these American bases are there surrounding Iran, because America has all these deals with the surrounding countries in the Middle East. Marco Rubio continued, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned. So he's effectively saying that they because they knew Israel was going to go in there, and they knew that Iran was going to fire back on these American bases, these American bases were ready to defend themselves. But eventually they will run out of munitions. The small cadre of lawmakers being briefed Monday is referred to as the Gang of Eight, and it is comprised of the leaders of both parties in the House and the Senate and their respective Intelligence Committee chairmen. Speaker Mike Johnson, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Senate Majority Leader John Thune, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Rick Crawford, and Ranking Member Jim Hines, and Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Tom Cotton, and Ranking Member Mark Warner were the 8 members included in the briefing. And the Gang of Eight was also briefed last week before the strikes. Still, Democrats across both chambers have decried the Trump administration for not informing more lawmakers of the impending military action against Iran. But, you know, that would jeopardize the security of this. If they decided they weren't going to warn Iran about this, then they don't want somebody else warning Iran that this is about to happen. I mean, I would say that it was pretty obvious that something was going to happen, because Trump was sending these battleships all the way over to Iran. I mean, it takes quite a long time to steam a battleship from America to the Strait of Hormuz, but that's in the Persian Gulf. That's essentially what they've done. So you've had a slow build-up to this. And I think we knew something was going to happen. It does make me wonder how far back it was that Bibi Netanyahu said to Trump that he was going to invade Iran. And of course, to Netanyahu, I mean, he could be looking at this and say, well, this is the only chance we will have to do this, because if it was another president that wasn't as philo-Semitic as Donald Trump, then they might not back us. So we have to take this opportunity now that we have this arch-Zionist president in the office of America. Now we have to take this opportunity to flatten the Palestinians and flatten the Iranians. Because if it was another president that perhaps wasn't quite so philo-Semitic, they may not support him. So you can understand from a strategy point of view why it is that Bibi Netanyahu has actioned all of this at this particular time. But my way of looking at it is, well, Jews always tend to overplay their hand. And this is why they get expelled from various countries. They've been expelled from 119 different countries. Over 1,000 times, I think it is, that they've actually been expelled, because they've been expelled from more than once from the same country. And it's always because they overplay their hand. They always overextend whatever they're doing. If you give them an inch, they will take a mile. And now that they've, in this world today, where they've been given more rights and abilities than they've ever had before, and they've built themselves up with so much power and influence that they have, now they're really sort of pushing the envelope by making it so obvious that they are the ones that are actually pushing America into war. And this will wake everybody up as to Israel and Jewish influence. And perhaps that needs to happen. People need to see the evidence of it and work it out for themselves, rather than actually be told this by nationalists or right-wing, or increasingly now left-wing activists. There is no law that requires us to do that, Rubio told reporters of the complaints. That's the complaints that he didn't tell them about this earlier enough. The law says we have to notify them 48 hours after beginning hostilities, and we have done that. I think the notification went today, but we did notify members of Congress in advance. He went on to note how we cannot notify 535 members of Congress, likely due to the operational security threat of so many people knowing of a covert military action. Of course, then the action wouldn't be covert any longer, would it? War powers resolutions, legislation aimed at reeling in the president's authority to unilaterally order strikes, have already been drafted in both the House and the Senate. However, the GOP-controlled Congress has not passed these resolutions, despite large Democratic support and the backing of some Republicans. Well, it's hard to see what they can do now. There's not a lot they can do, because Israel has gone in there, America has gone in there. They can't just suddenly stop now. They're going to have to carry on going. And what Trump appears to believe is that the Iranian people will support this. They'll be cheering, and they'll be glad that their country is being bombed by America, because it means that they'll be able to move their own government in and take over instead. And of course, that's not very likely, is it? If what we've been told is true about Iran, then they won't tolerate other parties forming, and you won't have these other groups all ready to take over. These groups just won't be there. The only group that would be all ready to take over would be an Iranian transitional government that had already been set up by America, who knew in advance that this was going to happen. Of course, that's the playbook that we've seen in places like Syria and Libya. There was always this transitional government made up of people that have been trained in America, the same as in Venezuela. People that go to these left-wing universities in America from these other countries, and they stay in America, and America basically promotes them as being the people that should actually really be running the country. It reminds me of Juan Guaido, this fellow from Venezuela. And for a while there, America was saying he's the real president of Venezuela. He's the real one. And he wasn't actually in Venezuela. And all he was this American puppet. And they were only saying this because they were accusing the recent vote that voted Maduro in of being false. And they were saying, oh, actually, the real president is Juan Guaido. It's the same they did in Belarus. And they said that the real president was this housewife, this feminist housewife, again, who wasn't actually living in Belarus. And I've even seen Jewish journalists referring to her as Madam President of Belarus, as if she's anything in Belarus, which of course she isn't. And this is the playbook that they operate by. If they can't make a regime pliable enough to their interests, what they will do is they will make a cloned copy of the regime outside of the country and pretend that they're really the legitimate people that should be ruling. And this is likely what they're hoping is going to happen in Iran, is that they will be able to put their own puppets in place rather than a genuine organic movement arising to replace the theocracy. And that's what Donald Trump is pushing, this idea that there will be a populist movement and they will rise up from Iran and take over the levers of power. But I don't think they will be. I don't think it's possible for them to have this organized opposition in the first place. And in the second place, I think the vast majority of Iran will support their leaders, even if they're not happy with them. And if you start bombing a country, even if you're not happy with your leaders, you are still going to defend your country. And if you look at the Second World War, a lot of people on the right were supportive of Hitler and did not want Britain to go to war. But as soon as Britain actually went to war, all of these people were saying, we have to fight back. We have to fight for our country. We have to fight against Hitler. Even if we don't want this war, we have to defend our country. And unfortunately, they put a lot of those people in prison under Regulation B. But they had already said that even though that before the war started, they didn't want the war to happen. Now that it has started, they're going to fight on the side of Britain. And I think you'll see the same thing here. Even people that may not be that happy with the theocracy and the Ayatollah, now that America started bombing the country, they're going to have to fight back. They're going to have to support their regime, because really it's up to them to change it, not for anybody else from outside the country to change who's ruling the country. It's up to the people within to do that. So I'm not sure that that is what they're going to get. I think what they'll eventually get in Iran will be a fake transitional government made up of puppets. Or it may be that Iran might actually manage to repel the American and Israeli forces. As I say, we have yet to actually see what Iran's military is really capable of doing. It might end up in a stalemate. At the end of it, of course, Iran is going to be massively weakened, and America and Israel might say, well, that's okay, we've done enough damage now, it's going to take them 10 years to repair everything, we'll just leave them at that, and we'll hope that a natural populist movement arises. And you'll still end up with the Ayatollahs there. And even the people that were, I think even the people that may have actually been against the Ayatollahs up until now they probably 100% support them, because they can see that what they were saying was correct, and that the threat to their existence comes from America and Israel. Well, Rubio said that though Congress has the right to take a war powers vote, it has already happened a bunch of times without success. Even if it did pass, it would likely face legal trouble, as no presidential administration, neither the Republican or Democrat, has ever said that a war powers resolution is constitutional, Rubio said. We have complied with the law 100% and we are going to continue to comply with it. So, interesting conversation there. Interesting things that were said by Marco Rubio, basically admitting that America is Israel's puppet, and that instead of saying to Israel, don't go and fight against Iran because we won't back you, they ended up saying, well, because you're going to go into Iran, now we will have to support you. So instead of stopping Israel from doing this or warning Iran that Israel were going to do this, America has just acted as a puppet to the Zionist interests. And if that is not obvious now for everyone to see, then I don't know what else could be done to make it any more obvious. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, Sam Melia is on Patriotic Weekly Review tonight. And tomorrow we will have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson back for another episode of The Daily Nationalist. God bless and hail victory.